Amen. Amen. You know what? Tonight, I'm going to finish Jonah. Maybe. No, I'm going to finish it tonight. And as we can look, let's go ahead and look in Jonah. I just want to share something. I just want us to see the difference in some things and how important it is to stay in the Word. Amen. And to submit to the Word. It's to submit to the Word. That when he says that nobody loves me, that the words they sang, I'm going to stand in who he says I am. It's submitting to that Word. It's living a life of submission. You know, that's the hardest thing today in the day that we live in right now, is to be submissive. Because everybody has their own agenda. Everybody has their own plans. Everybody has their own, they feel like they have their own voice in a sense. But I want you to know that the heart of God is submission. See, because Jesus was representative to us to show us how to submit. He submitted to the Father. He didn't do anything outside the Father. See, his success was in his submission to the words of the Father. Amen? His resurrection was in the submission. You all right? You got a need of water? I got one if you need one. I'll give up mine. Amen. Come on. Alyssa. But it's submitting. You said no. All right. Oh, they're for Jane. Oh, okay. So it's submitting, amen, that we learn to submit. We learn to submit. That's something that we begin to do, because if you can't submit to the Word, then you'll never submit to one another. You know what I mean? If you can't submit to the Word of God, you'll never, ever be able to submit to one another. And for this to work, amen, to come into unity, you have to be able to submit to one another. You have to be able to be at the place where you submit, where that your agenda, you being right is... your love for somebody is greater than you being right.
Amen.
So let's take a look at this and look at Jonah in Jonah 2, where we came off this. And it says, this is 1:17. It says, now the Lord had prepared. Remember, we talked about that. He prepared a well. Amen. That means that from the beginning, that here the salvation was already planned for Jonah. Even in the midst of this is the grace of God. See, God's already provided anything you needed. It's within Him, amen? It's in who He is. His provision, it's in God. So no matter where you are, you're able to step into that provision that God has. But you have to submit to that Word. So God, He prepared a well, a way out, amen? And it was prepared from God from the beginning, because He created the well, amen? The well was not just didn't happen, amen? It just didn't happen. But that's what's so beautiful about God's grace and mercy, that God's prepared from the beginning. Amen. Say from the beginning. In Genesis, or in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning. Say in the beginning. See, baseball. Talks about baseball. In the beginning. Was the Word. Say, was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. See, that's what's so beautiful. Amen. It says, and the same was in the beginning, with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Listen, I want us to see that everything that we needed, it was out of that Word. Amen. Everything that we have, everything that we need. No, I'm good. Everything that we have, everything that we need is in the Word. Every provision, every hope, every purpose, all that we need is in the Word of God. I have a desire within me this year to cause us to become so hungry for the Word of God. Because that is where it lies. Amen. It's in that. It's not in... sometimes we think that if we do this or we do that. But when people begin to love the Word of God... See, we got to understand that this is the Logos Word of God. That this is, when we read this, it's Logos. It's the whole process of communication of God's Word. That's what Logos means. It's the whole process of God's communication. Amen? It's who He is. He communicates through His Word. But I want you to know that anybody can read His Word. Anybody can have some sort of contact with God. But this is the difference. I want you to understand something. That word, there's another word, and it is called rhema. Rhema. And that word rhema means the saying. This is what it means. When you read the Logos, and then all of a sudden, that word jumps off the page and stirs your heart like nothing before. It is the communication of the Spirit of God communicating to you right then and there. The word that was in the beginning, amen, the Logos word, becomes a rhema word that jumps out on the page and stirs your heart. See, that's what we need to live with, is that rhema word, where that we let that word of God stir our hearts and move us and left to the right. And see, God was challenging Jonah to walk in the Spirit, to walk in His word, in the assignment that he had for his life. But Jonah decided, amen, we see where he began to fall apart. Why? Because he stepped out of that word. There's protection in it, amen. There's power in that word. There's peace, there's joy, there's hope within that word of God. Everything that we need is in the word of God. Amen? It's in the word of God. Authority is in the word. Authority. Listen, unless we're willing to submit to the word, we have no authority. You have no authority unless we're able to submit to that word. I mean, I want you to get this, and that's why sometimes there's not as powerful as Christians as there needs to be. Because they're not operating in that rhema word, in that power of that word, and walking in that. And letting it stir them and move them and quicken them and speak to them. When they're going through things, speak to their hearts that they stand in it and they're not movable. They're unshakable. They're valiant. They're powerful. They're mighty. Amen? See, David experienced that. Even in all his... I got to take this. I have a t-shirt on. Is that okay? Nobody will be offended. But David operated the grace of God, even in his failure to... I've been doing a study on David where that David, every time he failed, he was isolated. Every time that he had a bump in the road, is he isolated himself. Amen? He was stepping outside of the assignment. Remember when he was... Remember he seen Bathsheba? He was alone. God provided a way out for him. I want you to see this. Because he said that it was the time for the kings to go to war. The kings. And what was David? A king. And he chose to stay home. The provision was in the word. And the enemy knows that if you're outside that word, he can communicate to you. See, he communicated to Adam and Eve when they were outside of the word. They didn't stay in the word. No. Jesus was in the wilderness, in the same scenario, in the same place, just like Adam and Eve were, but he did not step outside of the word. He said, but the Lord says, the Father says, but my God says this. He stayed within the perimeter, in the protection, in the favor of God's word, His grace, and he operated in it. See, he spoke a rhema word for a moment when the enemy came with temptation. He spoke a word in his heart that in his spirit he spoke to it, whatever it was. About turning bread or tempting the Lord God, all those different areas. He had a word. He spoke to them in season and out of season. We have to be at that place. We have to be ready to speak that word in our hearts, no matter where we're at. And not only just for you, but those around us. See, God was trying to get Jonah to communicate his heart to people. See, worship is not just this way. We have to understand that. See, if we don't understand that worship is not just horizontal, it's vertical. We can't get it. Because we don't get the fullness of God. Because God is not just this way. God's this way. What's it look like? That was the heart of the Father. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the heart of God. So our love has to be not just this way, but this way. Hallelujah. It needs to reach out. So he was trying to initiate the heart. The assignment of God is to demonstrate the heart of the Father. That's the assignment of God. Well, I don't know what my assignment is. Stay within your assignment and you'll find what God has called you to do for that moment. And walk in it. Amen. Sometimes people, I want to get a piece of lead and put it right here. And then whenever people say, well, I feel led to do this or that, I'm going to tell them to come on up here and feel the lead. Just feel, because I've heard that so many times. Well, I feel led this way. Well, come feel led. Sometimes it's just flesh. Sometimes it's not. I'm not saying that all the time, you know what I mean? But sometimes it is just flesh. Amen? So this, look here, it says, and Jonah prayed unto the Lord God out of the belly of the fish. And he said, he cried by reason of mine affliction. Now he's crying because he's afflicted. Not because of any other reason, but because he was where? Outside of God's word, out of his will. And it says, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heard me, my voice. But you heard my voice. And he says, for thou hast cast me into the... Who cast him into the deep? Did God literally throw him off the boat? The Shemites. He says... Yeah, he told him to, yeah. But he literally didn't throw him off the boat. But he says, you... In the midst of the sea and floods can pass about me. He says, all the billows of the waste. Listen, I want you to know that sometimes it's okay to express yourself. It's okay. This is prayer. This is communication with God. God wants to hear you communicate with Him. But He wants you to listen to Him too. Amen? So it's okay. It's okay sometimes to be frustrated in a moment. It's okay sometimes to have your tears out with God. So, I mean, listen, I'm telling you. There's times where I get emotional talking to God. Get frustrated with things. Ain't going the way I think it should be going. Are you kidding me? Things should be this way or that way by now, or this or that. And you get frustrated sometimes. But it's okay, because God wants to hear you. Amen? God loves me to express myself, to talk to Him. But He wants me to listen to what He has to say too. Amen? He says, for thou hast cast me into the deep sea, in the midst of the seas, and the floods have passed me. He says, all the will has passed over me. He says, then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again. There was something with him saying, I got to look again. And he says, toward thy holy temple. He says, the waters compassed me about, even to the sole of the depth closed me round about, and the weeds wrapped around my head. At first he began to blame God. I want you to know, sometimes we blame God because we step out of the provision of His Word. And if we're honest with ourselves, we have to say to ourselves, am I seeking... Sometimes when things aren't going right, sometimes things are going right when you are in there. But I'm saying when there's that place of depression or overwhelmingness, and we have to stop. And the first thing we need to do, am I listening to God? Because this is what happened with Jonah. Jonah wasn't listening to God. And then he began to hear from, he began to listen to God. Watch him change his story. And it says, in the waters, and he says, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains of the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from the corruption, O Lord my God. You have brought me from corruption. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Wow. When my soul fainted, he says, he didn't come completely to the end. Remember? Don't be weary in well-doing. Amen. Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't let yourself get to that place. Amen. And he says, I will look again. Let's look at Isaiah. Isaiah 45. I think it's 20, verse 20. Yeah. And he says, my soul flamed, and he says, and my prayer came in unto me into thine holy table. I remember the Lord. Remember, that's like, remember where the prodigal son, remember he remembered where he came from? He reminded himself of the words that we said tonight. I'm going to believe what he says about me. So I want you to see that I remember the Lord. I remember the word. Say the word. See, he put himself in the remembrance of God's word. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. To remember me, that you partake of my body, of who I am. I want you to know, he is the word. Jesus, they had a big fuss because they were saying, he wants us to drink his blood. Jesus, no, I'm the Word. Eat of me. Partake of me. Remember, give me this day our daily bread. Eat of me. I am the Word. And he says, verse 20, assemble yourselves and come, draw near together. Ye that are escaped of the nations, they have no knowledge. Let me see if this is right. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared? Is this right? Oh, yeah. Verse 22. Sorry. Look unto me and ye will be saved. All ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself. The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return that unto me. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even in him shall men come. And all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. The Lord shall be the seed of Israel and justified in glory. Listen, he's saying here, he says, look unto me and you shall be saved. Look unto my word and you shall be saved. And we can see here that Jonah began to look unto God. I want you to know that no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, we have to look unto God, under the word of God, to take hold of it. Amen? That it starts off for everybody to enter into. We've got to see this. Everybody can just read the Word of God. But then as you begin to seek Him with a righteous heart, with a heart, guess what? All of a sudden the Rhema Word can jump out to you and give you that Word for that moment. To stir you, to provoke you, to change you, to move you, to quicken you, to get you out of the depths of where you are. Amen? He says, let's look at Titus. Titus 2:13. Looking for, that's what I sound like when I'm hungry. So, yeah, Kelly knows. What's wrong? I'm hungry. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing. Am I right here? 20? Yeah. I'm sorry. 2:30. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that we might redeem us from iniquity and purify unto himself peculiar people, zealous people of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Looking for it. That they're looking for it. That when we have a heart, that we're looking in the Word of God. That we're taking hold of the Word of God. See, I want you to see, this is where he is. He was at this place. He was on the edge of fainting. He remembered God. He looked into the Word of God. He meditated upon the Word of God. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. He says, listen. He says, they lack mercy. This is what happens. My own vanity. That we get in our own space. That we try to find our own word. Our own thing. Instead of submitting to the Word of God. He says that you miss out on your own mercy that God has for you. He says, I'm realizing. He's in the depths of a well. He says that God provided this. This is God, who the Creator. He says, I'm in the depths of this well. Something began to stir within his heart. Amen? Something began to happen. See, that's what God wants to do to you. I just want you to get excited about this. This is what God wants to do. He wants to have the opportunity to stir your heart, to move you, that you can be alive with God and be moved by Him and be touched by Him and experience that. That's real. See, because God wants us to represent Him. So we're alive in the Word of God, that we have a Word in season, out of season, that we represent Him in the right way. Not in that place of God did this to me. I've heard that so many times. I want to tell people, you're out of the Word, man. Come on, get back in the Word. Get back in that place. God's angry. We got to look at that. Like you said, the words. God's not angry at me. God loves me. God cares for me. I got to get beyond that point and look and say, God loves me. No matter what, God loves me. Amen? There's power in that. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanks. I'm going to sacrifice with thanksgiving. I'm going to sacrifice. I'm in the depths of this well. It might not be where I want to be. I should have. And he's thinking, I should have maybe went to Nineveh. Amen? But God never said one time, I told you. I would have. I told you so. And he says, but I will sacrifice, I will pay that I have vowed. He says, I will stay within the assignment. Amen? I'm going to do the assignment of God. Salvation is of the Lord. He says, and the Lord spoke to the fish. And it vomited out. Listen, that's just right there. It's just so powerful. And someone say, yeah, but that's just maybe just a like a fairy tale or something. Well, Jesus said that his resurrection was compared to Jonah. So if Jesus said that, it's not just a fable. It's the truth. Amen? So he says, so he was there for 3 days. Amen? What do we say 3 days? The death, burial, and resurrection. It's resurrection power. The same Spirit, amen, that raised Christ from the dead dwelled in me. That's what God wants us to get out of death places, to get out of the place of brokenness, get out of the place of poverty, get out of that place. The Spirit of God is within you, amen? It's within you to resurrect you, and no matter what situation is, to empower you. That's what the Word of God does. Amen? He says, and the Word, and it's in Jonah, you spit them out on dry land. Spit them out, man. Poof, right then and there. And it says in verse 3, it says, and the Word, say the Word, came unto Jonah a second time, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I told you to. So Jonah arose and he went to Nineveh according to the Word. He went to the Word according to the Word. He went according to the Word. I want you to know that. I want you to see this, though. See, he didn't have it all together. God's still working on us. I want you to know that we got to stay in that place, because at this point, it wasn't God that was doing things wrong. It was what was in Jonah's heart that God was working on. I want you to know that's the heart that God has for us, is to work on our hearts. Amen? To get us to a place of submission, that we trust Him, that we know without a shadow of a doubt that we move in it and walk in it and have our being in His Word. We're not afraid of this or that. But there was things within Jonah. Remember this. Jonah was going to a place where that these people were have overcome his people. They were living wickedness. He had this prejudice against them. He had his own agenda. He had his own process of elimination of these people in his heart. He was angry still, but he was still moving in it. I want you to know that God's doing something, not just for these people, but in Jonah. Because he wants him to represent him the right way. But he still has some things in there. God's still working on him. Sometimes you think God's mad at you, but God loves you. And he's trying to work some things out of your heart that will defile you and hurt you and break you. And that might not represent his nature to the people in the right way. Amen? So he says he decided to go. Good to see you, Austin. He says, he decided to go to the assignment, the due season, still working on him. Say due season. Don't be weary in due season. God's never, listen, I want you to see this. God's, he didn't think things were working out the way they should, but due season will come when it's due. It's not due yet, because why? Because God's still working in his heart. It'll come. When it's due. When is it due? When Jonah lets it come due in his heart. When he let it work out of his life. It's going to come due. I had to learn that. I had to learn that the hard way, where that sometimes I'm waiting for my season to come, but realizing the due season was when God worked it out of my heart. Then it was time to be produced in my life. Amen. As it worked out. So listen. He says, working on him, he's working on you too. And the people in Nineveh believed God. Oh yeah, here. And Jonah began to cry and went into the city 40 days in Nineveh, and she shall be overthrown. But he began to declare to them, he proclaimed to them, and they began to repent. What? This is not what really, remember, this is something that he was going to do what God says, but as long as it worked to his favor. Amen? And it began to displease. Sometimes God will do some things and it'll anger you, because you think it should be done a different way. God will want you to love somebody that you don't want to love. represent him in the right way to the wrong person. And he says, the greatest of them, even the less of them, and they begin to go, blah, blah, it goes all the way through. He began to declare, the king began to declare, tell them they need to do this, we need to repent, we need to fast. He says, and who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. God can't do evil, we know that. But it was what they were walking towards. It was what was happening that God was declaring that, listen, if you don't do this, this is the repercussion. What you sow, you'll reap. It's coming after you. Amen? So, but repent. That's the grace of God. That's how beautiful. Look at the heart of God right here. God's like, oh, yeah, he's moved by them. He's moved by his people listening to his word. It stirred his heart. It changed things right then and there. That's what's so powerful that we could see in this powerful story. And he says, and it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying? Say my saying. See, there, he's still working on him because he's saying, this is my saying. He says, here's what he said. When I was yet in my country, therefore, I was comfortable. He says, but unto Tarshish, for I knew. Here, let's get to it. Right here it is. He said, but I knew you were gracious. So Jonah wasn't going to go, didn't want to go. Why? Because he knew there was a moment that God's grace might be extended to a people that he hated. And that's what kept him from going. Because it upset his heart. And that's why he had to go to a well. That's why he had to go the other way. That's why all those things happened. Why? Because he stepped outside of the heart of God. Amen? He says, you are gracious. He says, God, and you're merciful. You're slow to anger. You're great kindness. You repentest thee of evil. Therefore, now, O Lord, take... He's having such a fit right now. He says, I beseech thee, take my life from me. Kill me. That's not like a kid, you know. It's like, I can't have that. I wish I would die. I've had some church members. He says, how great. He says, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Why? Because I showed mercy to them? See, your heart's not right, Jonah. See, God loved Jonah so much, but he wanted to see that my love for them is like it is for you. He couldn't comprehend that. He had a hard time with that. Sometimes in churches, that's what's represented, that God loves them because of their attendance more than he does the person that doesn't. Sorry, he doesn't. Remember the prodigal son, the one that didn't go? He was right there the whole time. He was angry at his father because he didn't have any. He said, he was right here for you the whole time. You didn't take it. My word was here. Everything was here for you, but you didn't receive it. Remember, God's grace is God's ability to do whatever we need. Amen. But faith is taking hold of what we do with the gift that he gives, is grace. What do I do with it? How do I respond to it? Amen. Almost done. Believe it? I do. Listen. Let's look at Proverbs. I love Proverbs. Man, this is a great book just to read and to get this wisdom into you. It really is. Proverbs, it says, listen, here's the thing. He says, the king's heart is the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whichsoever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth his heart. Now, he's saying this. He says, a king. That means authority. He says, the king in a place of authority lets God reign his heart. Lead it whichever way. Do you see that?
like water, whichever way. He says, like the river's water, he turneth it whatsoever he will. Turns it to the right, to the left. When you, listen, don't you want to be in a place where that, man, that you walk in that place constantly, like a river flowing with no effort? God wants us to be at that place. It's not something that is so far away that we can't take hold of it. It's reality. That's the heart of God from the beginning. To walk with His heart. To walk with Him impressing you and the Spirit of God moving in your heart. Amen? But it has to work out of us. It has to. We have to stay in the place of submission. We have to submit to the Word, whether we like it or whether we don't. Amen? Matthew. Let me just give you these couple of scriptures. Matthew 15, 18. He says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from your heart. He says, and they defile a man, whatever they are, those things in your heart. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands, Jesus was demonstrating that they were getting on him about because his guys weren't washing their hands before they eat. And he says, it's more than that. It's what you receive into your heart. It's what's coming. So what words am I receiving? What words are coming out from me? Am I declaring? What am I speaking? Amen? Because that defiles. So God looks into our hearts. He wants what we're saying is from Him. Amen? So he says, now therefore, take me my life. Then said, dost thou well to be angry? God says, does it good, do you well to be angry, Jonah? I love that. This is, are you done having your hissy fit? Is this working for you? Holding your breath. Breathe, Jonah, breathe. And he says, and so Jonah went out of the city. He stormed out of the city, sat on the side of the city. There he made himself a booth and he sat under the shadow till he might see what will become of the city. And the Lord God, here we go. You ready? Stay prepared. Here it is. God's prepared something because why? His heart. God's always preparing you to be a place to hear from Him. Boy, to be at a place where that we can always see that God's preparing, looking for God. Man, he says, a wise man sits at the door and waits. Waits. I'm waiting on God. I won't move without it. Amen? My emotions won't rule me, but the Word of God will move me and rule my heart. So he says, and he prepared a gourd, he says, like a branch that came up over. And Jonah was so glad that this branch, because it was so hot. Listen. And he says, and the Lord God prepared a gourd. He made it to come up over Jonah that it might shadow over his head. He says, from the grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad. But God prepared a worm. When the morning rose the next day, he smote the gourd that it withered away. He says, and it came to pass. God will use anything. I don't want to be a gourd in the story or a bug. It says, and it came to pass that when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement wind from the east. This speaks of trials and testing. Amen? What do they call that? A Euroclydon. That's what that name of that wind is. It's called a Euroclydon. And it disrupts everything. Come on, amen. I don't want to be at a place where that I have to have a Euroclide in my life to disrupt me, to get back to hearing what God's saying. And he says, and the sun beat upon his head, and he fainted, and he wished he was dead again. He says, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said unto Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? He said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Just being rebellious there, but God's working on his heart. See, the Word of God is about ready to do something in him. He says, and then said the Lord, here comes the Word. Amen? He says, but we got to be at a place where we hear it. See, because change comes when we hear the Word of God. Amen? Faith cometh by hearing. hearing that word. And thou hast pity on a gourd. He says, you are upset and angry because this gourd died. This branch died. And he said, for which that you have not labored, neither you have not made it to grow, which came up at night and perished in night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 620,000 people that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much of the cattle? He's saying to them, he says, listen, you are pitying this gourd. He says, but I want you to have my heart for these people. Amen? He says, I want you to know my heart. And we can see here that Joseph was, his priorities were wrong. They weren't God's priorities. See, God's priorities were the people. But Jonah's priorities was staying comfortable. Isn't that what it usually is at the end? The most harmful thing that we have is we love comfort, but to be in a place where that we're just comfortable and just complacent. Blah. Not hungry. Not thirsty. Not desperate for God's word that changes things. See, his word is eternal. So when I take on that eternity, I take that word on. I take it on in my life. Listen, I want you to know that, see, he wants the words to come out of your mouth to live forever. See, just like here tonight, that these words that I might be gone, but the words that I speak in people will live on. See, what we put out of God's word, not me, those things will pass away. But what I declare from God is eternal. So what I put into my child goes into one generation. She takes it and keeps going on. That word lives forever and ever and ever and ever without end. Well, we're gone. So what matters? What I did in the flesh that passes away, or what I did for eternity in the eternal word that changes everything dramatically? Let me finish. Colossians. 5 minutes. I'm doing great. Sure. I paced myself. Proud of myself. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy. That always bothers me, that word. We need to have a bowel movement of mercy. Bowels of mercy. That's different. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you. See? Listen. God's priorities. That God says, anybody, he says that just like he forgave me, I need to forgive. So I want you to know, the truth in my forgiveness is based upon what I forgive others. So I want you to hear this. This is powerful. Because I could say that God forgave me. But no, when I really get the depth and the rhema of that word that God saved me, it will come out in forgiveness to others. See, because it will come out of me. That forgiveness that I've received will burst out of me. It can't stay within me. I can't hold it back. Because somewhere, somehow, that there's doubt in my mind that God really forgave me if I can't forgive others. See, that's the depth of it. It might not look like it on the surface, but that's really the truth of the matter. Just like with Jonah. There was something deeper. See, God just doesn't want you to say, yes, I'm forgiven. Thank you. No, God wants you to experience it and know it and to forgive others and love others. Because that's the realness, that's the power, that's rhema word coming alive. That's a word, bam, spoken word coming alive in us. And he says, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man quarrel against him, he says, and above all these things, put love, which is the bond of perfectionness. Perfectness is love. He says, and let peace of God rule in your hearts. The peace will never come in the love leads it. Peace can never come in our lives. turmoil, frustration, and war can never end until I experience that love. And then peace will follow. It's right behind it. Amen? And then joy. He says, phone is exploding. I wonder if people know we have church on Wednesday. We need to tell some of the other people we have church on Wednesday nights. Maybe you guys can encourage people. Say, hey, we have church Wednesday. You got to come. Doing love. Doing love. Amen. He says, above all these things, he says, love. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called into one body. And man, that's another one too. The power of one. I'm going to preach that sometime. He says, and be thankful. Let the word, remember, here it is. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Kill the heat, Austin. He says, dwell in you richly. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Let it dwell in you. Dwell in you. Amen. Let it like a stew in a pot. Amen. That when it begins to work inside you and it soaks up inside you, that word. Amen. It gets all over you. And he says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord, giving thanks unto the God your Father. Amen. All right. And I'll finish with this. 1 Peter. And this is the one that we started the whole thing with. 5 and 9. See, I want you to see there, it doesn't tell you how Jonah answered, does it? Jonah wrote it and he didn't say anything. He didn't say how it ended. Like he didn't, what was his response to God? It ends that way because it's asking us, what's your response? How do we respond to that, to the heart of God? How do we respond to that? All right? So, 1 Peter 5-9. Who are kept, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. What we do with God's grace, that's faith, remember. You are heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold and perishes, though it be tried with fire. Jonah was tried with fire, that it might be found in praise, glory, and honor at the appearing of Christ. That Christ appears through the midst of our trials, that we submit to God's word. Amen? Out of the submission, out of that place of trials, that we submit to God's word. He says, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious, whom having not seen, you love. See, he wants you to be at a place, through all these things, that you're not tossed to and fro anymore, but you stand in that place. Man, there's something powerful about that. That you're not moved to the left or the right. Every one of the disciples were martyred. They weren't moved to the left or the right by what other people said. They stood strong and they gave their life for what they believed. They weren't moved by others' opinions, what other people said, but they knew what the Father. They could have easily said, well, man, this is costing me too much. But they weren't moved. They stayed in that place. And it says, in whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice. See, I just want us to get this. Even though you don't see him, you believe. Because why? That word, that rhema word, is what's so real. And that's what the fire is. That's what the fire is in our hearts. That we can love him, we don't see him. So many people don't understand. They say, how can you love a God that you don't see? Oh, I see him more than I can have any relationship anywhere out here, right now, than I can ever experience with my own wife. I have a relationship with God that's even deeper and goes farther and touches me in a deeper way than anything else. Amen? He says, and he says, having not seen yet, believing you rejoice in joy unspeakable. And full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvations of your soul. Wow. Stand. When you've done all you can do, stand. In that love, that in those moments, it speaks to you. Amen? So let the word of God speak to your hearts. Be moved. Stay in your assignment. Tell someone to stay in your lane. Don't get out of your lane. Stay in your lane. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I pray to God, Lord, it stirs us. I pray for a hunger, God. A hunger, God, Lord. You said to God, Lord, to stir the people for a hunger for your word like never before. God, Lord, a deep driven hunger for your word, God, Lord. I pray it upon these people. I pray it be contagious. I pray to God, Lord, that other people see it and know it and realize that there's something about these ones that their assignment. They're staying in the word. They're seeking the word of God. They're meditating upon it. They're holding on to it, God, Lord, and they begin to experience it because of their relationship, God. Lord, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.